You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Looking ahead to Thursday's racing, you can join myself, Sam Norris, alongside Andy Holding and Craig Forsyth in the Racing Radio studio for all of the action on Thursday. But James Millman joins me now to take an early look to the racing on Thursday. How are you, James?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sammy.
Good. We've got our Weather Champions Day coming at the end of the week, James. And I wanted to start by talking about that, but not in a preview sense, as we'll get plenty of that on the podcast tomorrow. But the emergence of spare parts, albeit at a low level, has been one of the stories of the all-weather season. Both him and Captain Lars, and obviously it's been well documented the last few days in the press, the conditions of the race for the Apprentice Handicap, the opening race on that day at Lingfield, has prevented one of the, as I say, stories of the all-weather campaign from getting into the race. ARC have, to be fair, held their hands up and said, you know, we've made a mistake. It'll be rectified again next year. But a massive oversight on their part, because rectifying it next year is unlikely to help connections of spare parts.
Yeah, no, it is frustrating, isn't it, for everyone involved. All of the championship days for a finale to encourage those to run horses during the winter. And spare parts has obviously been one of those that runs seemingly twice a week, yeah, every week. Cracking effort to win seven races of any racehorse, and spare parts has been a revelation for Phil McEntee and his connection, Steve Jakes, the owner. And it is frustrating. Unfortunately, basically, ARC have made a mistake. They've admitted it. Once a race's conditions are out there and in force, there's not really a lot you can do about it. It's there. The other trainers have read that, and they've entered horses that perhaps shouldn't be eligible, but they are, and that's the way it is. It's a very valuable handicap. No surprise people are taking advantage. To be fair, spare parts, I'm not sure he would be good enough anyway. Off 91, his rating has gone up. He won off 83, I think, at Kempton the other day, so he would have been £8 higher than that win, and he won by a neck. I think the winning run has come to an end a little bit. He runs in the mile, actually.
Yeah.
But he's only got an official rating of 85. He would have been £6 wrong in that handicap anyway, so he's only getting in because of the penalty. And it is a shame for connections, and I'm sure they would love to have had him on finals day in a race he would have a little bit of a chance in, rather than the mile where he's against Gabriel, Sacred Act, Go Ring, horses rated in the hundreds. Second Ford, obviously, he's probably the main one for that race. And it's disappointing for connections, but I just hope that Captain Lars, who's racing on the same day at Newcastle, at the moment they've had the same number of wins, seconds, yep, thirds and fourths, which is pretty remarkable, yeah, for two horses, bearing in mind how much racing they've had. So I think at the moment it's a split £5,000 to each, but if Captain Lars finishes in the first four at Newcastle, there are 14 runners in his race, he would scoop the whole £10,000. So I think that would just be doubly galling for the spare parts team, especially as he only just missed out on fourth the other day at Lingfield on Saturday. But yeah, they've made a mistake. It's happened now. There's not a great deal that anyone can do about it. It's frustrating, and they'll be even more annoyed if there's a non-runner or something and he would have got in otherwise, because he's just missed out, I think, by one or two.
Yeah, I think he was 17 on the list, in fact, of 14. But as you say, it wouldn't take too many non-runners to get him in the race. And a shame that a horse who's fully supported the all-weather winter campaign.
Yeah, it's what they're designed for. And I think there were six horses in the race that have only had six runs all winter combined on the all-weather.
Yeah.
And some of them haven't even appeared. So that was the case. And before, I think they just made a mistake with the race conditions. And unfortunately, it shouldn't happen, but mistakes do happen.
Yes.
And perhaps if they'd noticed it before the entries came out and then brought it up, obviously, they probably didn't think spare parts were ever going to be good enough to go in that race.
True.
And now it's cropped up. before that, nothing would have been said.
Yes, a real shame, but as you say, there's not really a great deal anyone can do about it now. I wanted to move on to another talking point as well, which has broke this morning, the news that Winx won't be travelling over to compete at Royal Ascot. You say that. I was surprised to see as many people have that kind of reaction on social media and suggest that Connections had bottled it by not sending her over here. Are we being too Eurocentric?
Nope.
Because the prize money's better and nope. The opposition's inferior at Australia. Why would they come over?
To prove a point, to prove that she is as good as everyone says she is.
Just purely for the prestige, when the Cox Plate is worth $3 million Australian dollars and the Queen Anne is worth the equivalent of $1.2 million Australian dollars.
But she's got nothing left to prove out in Australia, has she?
I mean, she can win millions more quid though, James.
She's won plenty of money as it is, and like I said, I'm disappointed she isn't going to come over. I think she would struggle over here, to be honest. I don't think she's quite as good as people make out. She's so tough and inconsistent, but the horses she's beaten are not particularly top Group 1 level performers.
Well, depending on who you speak to, they're a bunch of handicappers.
Well, Hartnell was one of her main rivals for many years, and he and Hervier was a Group 3 horse, perhaps at best, and tend to be a stayer as well, drop back and trip over in Australia. She's won 8.9 million already in English money, so I don't really know what she needs to do out there to warrant staying over there, and basically beating the same horses week in, week out, not knowing how good she actually is. Just looking at her last few races, 6 lengths, she's winning 7 lengths. It was a bit of a struggle the other day, actually. She was hanging up the home straight. And for me, it may just be that she's not quite as good as what she was, perhaps. What is she now? She's 6 year old.
Yeah. Interesting point made, I think, by Julian Muscat in his Wednesday column in the Racing Post, that obviously with every win, the pressure ramps up. She's on this long winning run now. They don't want her to be defeated. And he's noted that Hugh Bowman has been taking her pretty wide in races. He doesn't want to get, you know, one of the stories of the nation in trouble in the race. He doesn't want it to be his fault as such. And as a result, she's covering a little bit more ground than she perhaps needs to nowadays.
Yeah, possibly. She's lucky in the fact that everyone's scared of her, that there's only ever six runners, eight runners in the race. So you can do that when you're on the best horse. It's always best to go a bit wider and forfeit the ground, but get a clear run and not get hampered. And it must be a lot of pressure. I think I can totally understand the Connections are saying they only actually enjoy it after the race.
Yeah.
They hate even in the race because it's she can only win. Anything else is a complete and utter failure. Black Caviar came out over and did it. She struggled. She didn't acclimatise that well, but she still got the job done. And for me, that marks her up so much more than Winx. It's not going to happen. I don't think it was ever really that likely to happen. Like you said, there was plenty of good prize money over in Australia for her to pick up. And she's a bit of a celebrity out in Australia.
Yes.
It would have been great if she had come to Ascot.
Definitely.
But I'm not surprised. And I think she would have struggled over here, is my own opinion.
But no one will be calling John Gosden and Khalid Abdullah bottle jobs for not sending Enable over to take on Winx, for not sending her to Australia. I was just, do you think that's just a Eurocentric mindset that we tend
because
to have? Or is it just factual
good.
That the horses
aren't as good?
It's better here.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then it's not anywhere near as good.
Frankel never went international.
Again, he didn't need to.
Oh, right. Because these are.
The racing over here is just by far the best, Sammy, that you've got to come here, really.
It is. And we all know that it is. But I can definitely see why Connections wouldn't bother given the difference in prize money fact that she can beat up opposition.
I can definitely see why. I'd just like to have seen if there was any chance of her being as good as that. She'd have to come over here and prove it. Whereas I think a lot of the horses that do go over to Australia that weren't superstars in the UK can be pretty decent out there. But it's not going to happen. And it's frustrating. So I think it would have been a good story at Royal Ascot because this year's milers might not be the most strongest. But again, it's a completely different track. Straight track, she'll be running at Ascot, whereas in Australia, she's always running around tight bends, different nature racing, the travel. She's a mare, she's not getting any younger. Like I say, it's a sensible decision, probably. It's just disappointing we don't get to see it. But I do think that she would have had a very hard task over here. I don't think it would have been Black Caviar. We all expected her to absolutely bolt up.
Yes.
Whereas for Winx, there's a lot of doubts, and a lot of people are just questioning how strong the form actually is.
I mean, I say only, but I think she's only 8-11 to win the Cox Plate for a fourth time in succession, which kind of, I mean, she's an odds-on shot, but for a horse that's won that much, kind of suggests that there's a little bit of, you know,
vulnerability.
Yes.
Like I say, she was hanging quite bad the other day when she won at Rose Hill. Another great one, £339,000 in the bag. And like I said, she has won £8.9 million. I imagine I'd take it over £10 million at some point. But yeah, she beat Happy Clapper in April 2016. 2 years later, she beats him again. It's the same horses 2 years later. Yeah. There's just, yeah.
Final point on this. Do we get to see enough international clashes like that? I mean, I don't think that we do. Is there anything that could be done to try and make it happen more often? We potentially see them clashing at the Breeders' Cup. Dubai, sometimes
Dubai's
we see...
got the money.
Yeah.
We get a little bit of a European clash. The problem is, obviously, racing seasons are all different times of the year. And nothing's... The European season, we do have Arc Day, I suppose, or Champions Day, however you want to look at it. You've got two meetings at the end of both our seasons where it's kind of the horses are perhaps actually beyond their peak.
You were going to say peaking, and then do you think over the top?
A little bit, some of them are. Yeah. That's just the way it is. It's very hard, the way our racing is, to have an Olympic Games as such, what you do in athletics, where every 4 years you come together for that one meeting. We've got a little bit more of a jump, so obviously it's only really Britain v Ireland, where all the horses are peaked for that 1 week.
Yeah.
The flat, we don't have that because there's so many different targets throughout the year. Obviously, in America, Kentucky Derby would be their main race to aim horses for, and then they might come back for Breeders' Cup. The Dubai meeting, that's the first meeting for many of the horses in the Northern Hemisphere. And again, they're probably not going to be at their best for that first race of the season. So just the nature of it, I think it's very hard to actually have a standard World Championships where the best horses from the world will come up. I think the Dubai probably is the nearest that we get. That's just because money talks.
Yes.
But even then, it's still not enough to entice that many over from Australia and America, etc.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Japanese horses, the Hong Kong horse as well.
Yeah, it's good to see the Japanese, actually, because I think that racing we neglect a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's of a very, very high class. The money over there is pretty immense. But obviously, they come over for the arc, don't they? Still not won it. One day they will, but they never see them in the UK very rarely.
It's extremely popular there as well. You see some of the videos on social media.
Japan Cup Day,
when the gates open. Yeah,
it's like 100,000 Luke Elders all sprinting to find the best place.
Yeah, it's immensely popular.
Indeed,
there.
Lots of very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
People, yeah. It's kind of the Japanese mentality. They do latch on to something.
Yeah, and
I think Ryan Moore is like a bit of a god out there.
Right.
I would imagine he's. Yeah. Far more well known in Japan probably than what he is in the wider UK, because I think horse racing is quite big out there.
Yeah, and as you say, they don't do things by halves traditionally, do they?
No, definitely not. So I could just imagine Luke sprinting for the Japan Cup celebrations.
An international meeting would be nice, but it's going to have to remain a pipe dream.
I think it is a pipe dream, unfortunately. If the Dubai millions and millions they pump into that meeting gets a lot of horses, but it's not renowned as I say, our world championships. But I say Breeders' Cup try to claim that, but the dirt's not really a surface for a lot of the European horses. And it's, again, it's right at the end of our season. A lot of horses are overtopped by them.
Like I said, though, like most things in life, if you throw enough money at it, then...
Yeah, money
maybe.
Talks.
Yeah,
obviously, we've got the Everest race now in Australia.
Yes.
Lots of... horses will be trying to go over there from various places, but it is tricky because there's so many different times of the year, seasons start different times, etc. It's hard to coordinate it exactly.
Let's take a look at some of Thursday's racing now then. We go to Chelmsford City for a couple on their card, starting with the 330. This is a handicap over a mile and two, and a sizeable pot on offer here, just shy of 30 grand to the winner for this Class 2 handicap. Only attracted seven runners, which
is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of a disappointment for a race of this nature. They have a few throughout the course of the year. I mean, prize money generally there is pretty good, but they do have a few of these rich Class 2
it's
handicaps.
Bad timing, though. Good
Friday
the next day.
Yeah, it is a little bit, yeah.
You've got 150 grand on offer, where a lot of the horses that rated above... It's an open handicap, this one, so any horse could go in it. Our top weight's only 99, yet all the horses rated... probably 100 to 110 are available for the weather this time of year. They're all going to be on in the Easter Classic.
Yeah.
So, like I say, perhaps that race, there isn't a need for this race. You could have probably put a 20 grand on, not to 100, and the same seven horses would turn up. So, again, I think you need to look at your race planning a little bit to understand why the race hasn't failed. But nonetheless, it's a competitive race.
All about the penny pinching, aren't you? You're the first person to ever campaign for less prize money.
It's just been realistic.
Yeah,
You could stick this handicap on in 3 weeks' time and you'd get 12 runners.
Yes.
Because those that ran on Easter finals day, they would go for this race, but they raced around 50 grand instead of 45.
Yeah.
So it's just if I was in charge, then things like this wouldn't happen.
But perish the thought.
I'd soon sort it out. Yeah. But interesting race nonetheless, and it gives a few of the slightly lesser grade weather horses a chance to win a big prize. Nonios is one of my favourite horse actually running the weather. He's been pretty consistent this year. Won pretty cosily under Martin Harley last time out. On the bridle, got the job done. This is a step up in grade, and he does like a fast pace to chase, but only 7 runners. Hopefully he won't get any trouble in running. And I think he's got a decent enough little chance off bottom weight in a race which isn't as competitive as the prize may suggest. I'd say purely because of the Good Friday. Have you ever seen Oak won nicely on debut for Heather Mains Yard this season? Won well 12 days ago. That's in good form. Couldn't rule that one out. Clatchy Gala at a top weight. Interesting with George Wood taking off £3. Probably needs it. Calling out used to be a classy horse back in the day. The other Simcot runner. But I think it's Nonios. It's a nice race and he could well pick up a prize.
Okay, and Nonios then in that feature handicap on Chelmsford's card coming up at 3:30. The next race is the 4:05 handicap over a mile this time, Class 4 event. And again, 7 runners to choose from here, James. But one or two of these were winners when we last saw them. So it's not got a bad look to the race, to be fair.
Yeah, nice little race. I quite like Bobby Biscuit.
Okay.
Simon Dow's runner won its maiden pretty nicely on second career start and then stepped up to the Kentucky Derby trial qualifier, which...
You a fan of that?
No. Poly track and dirt over in America is just completely different things. Obviously, Gronkowski won that race and he's actually running in the next Kentucky Derby
qualifier
at Newcastle on Friday.
Yeah, because he was going to go out to the States and run it. Is it the Bluegrass or...
I'm not Luke Elder. I'm not quite so strong on the worldwide American racing.
I'm pretty sure the original plan was to run in an actual...
But you get qualifying points. So yes, he picked up, I don't know, whatever it was at Kempton. If he went back on the dirt over in America, he'd then start on zero again. So he wouldn't actually carry those points over.
Is that right? Okay.
So that's why they're going to run him Newcastle. If he wins at Newcastle, then he gets enough points to automatically get an entry into the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
Pros and cons, because I think obviously if he'd run in the dirt... He'd have an experience at dirt for the Kentucky Derby, but if it went wrong and he came third, he then wouldn't qualify for the Kentucky Derby.
Right,
so I can see why Gronkowski is
cautious approach
going that option. But back to Bobby Biscuit, he wasn't good enough in that Kentucky Derby trial, but he still wasn't disgraced. It would give him a good experience against some decent horses. I'd say perhaps not Kentucky Derby horses, but nonetheless, I still thought it was an okay run. And I think you would learn plenty from that experience. So Bobby Biscuit... back in a handicap where it should be a little bit easier for him. I think he's got a very interesting chance. Obviously, Ambient is dangerous because he actually beats him in the Kentucky Derby trial. They're 6th and 7th, respectively. But Ambient's had a little bit more experience. I think the unexposed nature of Bobby Biscuit might just stand him in good stead.
Bobby Biscuit then in that 4:05 at Chelmsford, and that goes with James' earlier selection of Nonios in the 3:30 race, which is the race that precedes it on Thursday. Thank you very much for that, James. Enjoy the action and best of luck.
No worries, Sammy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.